Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, morning, evening, depending upon where you are. My name is Walter Davis, and I'm here once again to talk to you about poly-MBA, and I'm expecting some doctors to come on here from a medical convention, along with Al Sanchez of poly-MBA. And poly-MBA is a substance which is very helpful in the recovery of cancer and other very serious diseases. And it is what I have used in terms of helping me recover from prostate cancer. I've been using poly-MBA now for about 7 years. And, you know, the doctors couldn't find any trace of cancer in my prostate after 3 years of me using this product. And so it's really fantastic when you get your biopsies done, and some people get chemotherapy and some get radiation in conjunction with it. Others just use it by itself. It depends on the severity of your cancer in terms of what you should do. But basically, combining this with conventional medicine is very effective in terms of treatment. And so right now we have a caller on the line, 714. Is that you, Al?
Good morning. Yes, it is.
Good morning. I was just giving the audience an introduction about poly-MBA. So I would go ahead and turn it over to you. What do you have to say on that? I guess you have some guests that want to speak about it as well.
Yeah, I was just trying to coordinate that as well. Primarily, I wanted to be able to share, again, with your radio listeners and everybody else as we have over the years, over the past year now with poly and such, that, you know, I'm fortunately here in Reno, Nevada with Dr. Jim Forsythe as well as some other integrative doctors. I just stepped out of the conference hall, as a matter of fact, where Dr. Frank Antonovich finished up speaking this morning on some of the exciting news with the recent studies on poly, and it's exciting. So I'm just trying to catch my breath, to be honest, because I get so excited when I get to these conferences because it gets the opportunity to see the clinical applications of all the various protocols that these doctors are using. So I'm just taking notes. It's conference goes from like 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night, and it's almost an overload of information, but it's great because it just gives the credibility to the things that you've spoken to and the things that we speak of, and that's the fact that these integrative protocols are helping people, period. Bottom line, that's what it's about. So to be able to get to speak with the doctors and say, hey, how are you doing it? What are you doing? You know, what are you seeing in your patient population that is giving you success, or sometimes, excuse me, what's not giving you success? That's a lot of times a big indication of some things that need to change, which is great because, you know, doctors ultimately are simply practicing medicine. Okay, fine. I just wish they were a little bit more honest about that with their patients, that sometimes they just don't know. And if they would share that with the patient, then maybe they could help to lead them to a better path of decisions and choices they can make. Because as we know, there's multiple ways to, quote-unquote, skin a cat, as they say. And everybody's body's a little different. So what you might need versus what I might need are similar yet different. So, and we change as we age. So whether you're a young male or female in preteens, whether you're a 20-year-old, whether you're a 40-year-old, whether you're, you know, a female post-children, premenopausal, postmenopausal, all these things relate together to our health. And so it's why there's no one shoe fits all, no one cookie cutter approach that says, okay, this is the answer, and in this place, no answer for cancer. But it's why the organization that we've partnered with, and her name is Annie Branch, she's the director of her foundation, it's called The Best Answer for Cancer, which says it's different for everybody, so let's go find out what that is. Let's start tracking some research and start looking at these cases, and let's be able to present to the public, which deserves that answer, and let them make the best decision for themselves. And so that's where I'm at, smack in the middle of that right now, literally for a 3-day conference here in Reno, Nevada with a lot of the integrative doctors. And I really want to just give the opportunity to share that with you and hopefully share it with your listeners as well.
Okay, well, great. I can go ahead and continue to talk to the audience while you corral the doctors. That's one of the great things about this particular type of internet radio is that we can bring up our shows at the very last minute. And Al and I just talked about this less than an hour ago, and here we are. He's in Reno, and I'm in California, and we're able to have a radio conference. So, Al, if you want to take, you know, just, you know, stay connected if you can and mute your phone and go corral the doctors, I can continue to talk to the audience about poly-MVA.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Dr. Antonowicz to finish up. I can still see him from where I'm standing right here. He's still speaking with the doctor, so we can continue just kind of sharing a little bit more about this maybe and let the listeners know what's going on. So again, like I said, I'm here at the what's called the Integrative Oncology Conference in Reno, Nevada, with a whole host of doctors. There's probably 175 delegates and from all over the world, and there's probably about, give or take, 60 different exhibitors that have various testing equipment, various protocols, various products that the various doctors use in their clinics and for their patients. So it's kind of a meeting of the mind, and I've really had this vision when I first met Annie and the Best Answer for Cancer. It really coincided with her vision as well, and that's why she named again her foundation The Best Answer, is that even in what we call allopathic or Western medicine, where you go to your doctor, let's say, and you get a prescription for an antibiotic. So let's keep it real simple. Well, how many times does it start out with, let's say, something like penicillin, and then it goes to ampicillin, and then it goes to the five-day patch, or then it may have to escalate up to intravenous antibiotics because it's a severe infection of some sort. And when doctors are writing prescriptions for something as simple as an infection, they really don't know. And it's kind of, it's trial and error, no different. And yet what we're learning and what we know at a high level is that a lot of these prescriptions have side effects. And let's stick with the antibiotics, for example. Great, antibiotics kill bacteria, but they kill all your bacteria. Well, many of us know and some of us don't know, there's healthy bacteria in our body. Our body needs certain amounts of bacteria, especially in our digestive system, to keep us healthy. Our immune system starts in our digestive tract. So let's just stick with this little analogy real quick. So you take an antibiotic for something simple as an infection on, because you got a cut on your foot or something, and unbeknownst to you, you're killing all the good bacteria as well as possibly the bad bacteria in your body. And it may be necessary, let's say. But how many people out there have ever heard their doctor say, well, since we're giving you an antibiotic, you should also be taking what's called a probiotic. And many of us may know what that is. Some of us don't. If you don't, a lot of times you hear the commercials now, especially on the yogurt commercials, to take dairy because dairy has those probiotics in there to replace that are necessary for our digestive tract. But do they ever tell you that? No. Why not? For me, and at least at this stage in my life, that's common sense. I'm giving you an antibiotic for an infection that you have, and of course you want to control this infection. But at the same time, I'm killing all the rest of the good flora and good bacteria in your gut, and yet I'm not telling you to also go and do something that would be supportive to your normal body's function that keeps you healthy and keeps your immune system strong. No, I'm going to give you an antibiotic that's going to hopefully, they don't know for sure, take care of this infection that you have, yet it's going to be suppressing your immune system function by suppressing the healthy bacteria in your digestive tract as well. That's not common sense to me, Walter, you know what I mean? And yet, once I've learned that from basic physiology 101, now I've taken that and extrapolated that to the situation of cancer. That situation is no different. Here are these doctors, in all their good intention, mostly typically your oncologists because they're the cancer doctors, and they're prescribing you things like chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and these aren't just your run-of-the-mill, as most of us know, antibiotics. These do some heavy damage. Do they kill cancer cells? In the way they're trying to kill cancer cells, that's a heavy arsenal. And yet, they're damaging other cells, and they're not, at least minimally at the same time, having you in any way, shape, or form support that. And that's not common sense to me. And these group of doctors understand that. They get that. And they're looking into ways to say, okay, how can we help these cancer patients that are, one, have a disease that has really ravaged their body, two, that might possibly be going through some very difficult treatments that are going to compromise and destroy their bodies even more. That's a tough cookie to crack, and yet that's what, you know, that's why I'm here, and that's what, you know, we do what we do, and why we're trying to share this information with the, with your listeners as you have, and I'm preaching to the choir when I talk to you, Walter. You went through this personally. I mean, my God, you came face to face with that animal, and then and thank God you stood up to it the way you did. And look, you're still here as you've shared that story many times. And a lot of the friends and acquaintances that you met along the way are not. So what does that tell you? Well, that speaks volumes.
Well, yeah,
right?
just look at that term. Look at that term, antibiotic. That means anti-life. So it's not, I mean, bio means life. And so anti-life. And that's not just, you know, destruction of bad things that are in your body. It's the destruction of good things just as well. And so that's what I like about integrative medicine, is that things like poly-MVA support the body on a cellular level, while the free radicals and the damaging things in the body are destroyed, and they're destroyed by the body's natural immune system. Correct?
You are correct, and thank you for opening my eyes to that. I never thought of antibiotic. Interesting. Great. No, you are absolutely correct. And so, and then look at the other term we just talked about, a probiotic, right? A probiotic enhances life. It helps life flourish, and that's the simple, basic, common sense approach that not only myself but the various doctors that I work with are bringing to medicine these days. It's just that simple approach. So let's take out all the factors of the whiz bang gadgets and new. Just that simple, common sense approach. Whatever can support that basic approach, that is one, supportive of life and supportive of what you just mentioned, your body's basic design, you know, God-given design. Our bodies know what to do. We don't have to tell them what to do. Our bodies know what to do. We simply have to be good stewards of our body and give and try and find the things that will better support the body in whatever situation that might be. So if we're talking about the simple common cold, okay, great. What is that? Let's take it out of rocket science and make it simple. What does it take? Usually lots of fluids, lots of rest, and some good supplements like vitamin C, like our grandmother used to give us. Wow. And some time. And what happens? We don't have the cure for the common cold. To this day, we don't have the cure for the common cold. But guess what? Those three or four things right there do wonders when you get a cold, right? Yet what do we want to do? Well, we have things to do. We want to not miss work. We don't want to miss whatever. So we want to, you know, give ourselves all these different drugs that are going to dry up our sinuses because we don't want to, you know, have a runny nose. We're going to suppress our fever by giving us various drugs to suppress the fever, although the fever is the body's response to elevating your metabolism. It helps to speed up your immune system. So that's, you know, an anti-inflammatory. Okay, great. Other than maybe helping you to sleep, they do nothing for speeding up your body's recovery of the common cold. All they do is kind of mask it so that you can get through your day. And if anything, it maybe lengthens it out a little bit because had you just gone home and rested like we should and got on fluids and got on some nutritional support and had some real chicken soup, not the Campbell's stuff in a can, then, wow, no wonder we'd feel better in 3 or 4 days. But so in that same care, that same analogy, to a certain degree, is what modern medicine uses to treat some of the most difficult diseases on the planet, one of those being cancer. And they don't know, and many times they're covering up the symptoms. They're delaying the body's ability to heal, and many times they're hurting the patient more than they're helping them. And I know that sounds as a harsh statement, but I think a lot of people that have ever had a personal experience or a personal journey in cancer with either themselves personally, a loved one, family or friend, even an animal. If you've ever had one of your family pets that have ever had cancer, yeah, just look what happens. It's right there. This isn't stuff I'm the only one in the world ever seeing. And you just have to shake your head and go, there has to be a different approach. And I'm happy to say, and I'm here to say, that it is. And people like Dr. Jim Forsythe have found that, and they're having a lot better success, and patients are having a lot better quality of life. And what more can you say to that than the proof is in the pudding, and they're doing it right now.
So tell me more. What are you learning at this conference, and what are some of the new developments that have come out there?
Well, one of the exciting things that we've come across is understanding that, for example, Dr. Antonowicz spoke on oxygen this morning, and that he gave a great analogy that I'd like to share right now, and that is we talk about cancer cells being abnormal cells, and to a certain degree, that is correct. Yet at the same time, they're our own cell, and that's kind of the problem, is that our body, part of our system's bodies has lost the ability to recognize and deal with this abnormal cell, and it allows it to grow in whatever location it might be, and therefore that gives us a diagnosis. So if those abnormal cells grow in your prostate at first, and that's where they're identified, then it's called prostate cancer. If it grows in your liver, it's liver cancer. If it grows in your colon, it's colon cancer. If it grows in the brain, depending on the area, it's called a glioblastoma. And yada, yada, yada. So where it starts is, by definition, the primary cancer. The problem being is they become so difficult to detect because they are, in a very fundamental way, our own cells. And our body lost the ability to recognize that those shouldn't be there and to do something about them. And so they leave them alone. And then over time, they grow and they grow and they grow. And if we don't catch them on an early screen of some sort, or we don't listen to maybe some symptom that they give out, or some cancers don't give it. We've heard plenty of stories where all of a sudden someone's had a little cough and go in and they get a chest X-ray and all of a sudden you're covered in cancer. Oh, and by the way, it's metastatic to your brain and your spine and your bones. So sorry. Well, at that point, that's the hardest reason it's so difficult, because we don't detect it early. It's one of our own cells. So what Dr. Thomas was talking about was the fact that says, he gave a great example, and I'll give it to you right now. He says, when any of us were conceived as a human being, we started out as a single-cell organism, and we doubled the two, and those two cells then split and went to four. If everybody can remember their biology 101 in eighth or in junior high or high school, then those cells went from four to eight. They went from eight to 16, 16 to 32, 32 to, you get where I'm going. And guess what? They were using the same process of growth that cancer cells use to grow themselves. So in a little simple definition, they were a cancer cell growing inside of our mother. I was, you were, everybody was a cancer cell for a period of time in our life. And then all of a sudden, they differentiated. A signal came from somewhere inside the cell that was triggered by something, and all of a sudden it said, okay, now you go and become skin cells and blood vessels and organs and tissue and eyes and ears and nose and yada, yada, yada. And a human being formed, as well as any other life form, that same process happened. The cell got a signal. It had the information. It becomes what it was, its genes were told to become. Okay, wow, that sounds really, really similar to a cancer cell. What gave it that signal? Ah, here we go. So now we get into some really deep science that I'm not going to get into here, but that was what one of the talks was. And it expanded on this whole process of that simple analogy I just gave you and said, somewhere where, for example, with you, Walter, your prostate cells didn't grow up. When one of your cells divided and one went into two, one of them went off and became more of your prostate cells, and this other one kind of hung out. It didn't grow up. And it went rogue. It just stayed there. And the body systems and your other body systems that normally would either help to remove that cell and say, hey, here's a cell that grew up and didn't mature properly. We better get it out of here and take care of it. Our immune system comes in, macrophages, all this kind of cool stuff comes in and takes care of it, removes it. Or some other cells come in and say, hey, can we help you to become who you need to become, kind of like a little mentor? Can we give you a little jump start? Can we supply you with some of your needs to maybe help you to grow up? And if it does, then guess what? That cell starts back up and grows up and becomes a nice normal prostate cell. But if it didn't, then it hangs out. And what does it do? It says, hey, I need to survive. What does it do? It goes back to being like a little baby cell again. It says, well, guess what? I'm going to divide. And it makes two. And those two make four. Those four make eight. Those eight make 16. And before you know it, you have a tumor in your prostate swelling. And now if it's been there long enough, pieces of it may break off and then all of a sudden go and become metastatic and go other places in your body and wreak havoc for themselves. And now you got a serious problem. Think of it almost like termites in your house. You catch them early, great. You take care of them. You don't, the outside of the wood looks great, and all of a sudden you go to open the door, and the door falls off the hinges. What the heck happened? It looked like it was totally fine. Yeah, because it was being taken care of from the inside out, and you couldn't see anything. Cancer is real similar that way. So these doctors are targeting and looking at therapies that can support our body's natural process, our body's natural function, to do what it already knows how to do. And that's where things like poly-MDA come in. That's where things like various IV protocols, that's where things like Myers cocktails come in. That's where high-dose vitamin C helps to trigger the immune system. That's where these various protocols, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, ozone therapies help to somehow, we're looking to turn the light switches back on that somehow got turned off because of maybe some carcinogens we got involved with in our environment. Maybe we've been having a bad eating streak for the past 10 years and we're not exercising as much as we should. Well, guess what? I wish I could say it in a different way, but those things help to keep us healthy. We know that. Everybody almost knows that. It's almost a mantra of society now. We know it, yet we're not doing it. We know that smoking and those types of things will inhibit our cells. Yes, we know that. But people still tend to smoke, okay? So it really opens your eyes to some fundamental approaches that may help, and maybe this is helping others, and that's my hope of having this discussion with you, Walter, is to share that information with others to make them go, yeah, you know, it is that simple, isn't it? Wow. So that's why it's so important to get out and exercise. It's not so much that you can go build some muscle and have a great-looking six-pack on the beach, you know, that's a lot of work, to be honest. What it means is that by going out and doing some form of exercise, I don't care what it is, whatever your hobby is, even taking walks, even bicycling, whatever, you're breathing. You engage your muscles. You engage your physiology. You engage your cells to do what they were designed to do. By sitting around, giving them poor sources of nutrition, what's going to happen to them? They're not going to do so well. And a byproduct of a poor environment and lack of activity is disease. Cancer happens to be one of the most devastating of those diseases, but it's no different in a certain way than cardiovascular disease, no different than MS, than dementia, than Alzheimer's. You know, disease is part of life. We'll never get away from that. But the fact that it's at the level that it is in our society, in the world, and how it's rising, that's really concerning me, and I hope it's concerning a lot of other people in the world as well, to do something about it. And it's not rocket science, everybody. It really isn't. I'm not some, you know, great worldly thinker that just came up with this stuff. I just happen to be surrounded by a lot of smart people that are putting this together, and I'm hoping that in my way, because of my experiences of the death of my mother and the death of my sister via cancer, that I can help support this knowledge and this information to share with others so that I've seen what it does. Cancer and going through that is not, it's tough. And like I said, I lost my mom when I was 3 and I lost my sister when I was 30. And I have 3 young children that I'm trying to keep healthy. And so I want to be healthy for them. And also I want to teach them the good things to keep them healthy in a world that is ever changing and is very toxic on so many levels. So there it is, kind of in a nutshell.
Well, that's all very important, you know, to provide our body with nutrition and also to oxygenate our body, because oxygen, you know, kills bad things in our body. So what you're talking about in terms of exercise, that causes oxygen to be better distributed throughout the body. So just like you see your furniture outside oxidating, where you have rust, if you have metal outside, you have rust. That's sort of what happens when it comes to bad things in the body. When the oxygen comes in, it gives the body the ability to destroy those negative things. And so products like PolyMBA also support those cells with nutrients and things that they need and fortification that they need to stave off these things that will destroy the body. And that's why it's important to exercise. That's why it's important to cleanse the body. This is why it is important to provide these cells with nutrients that they need and support. So the objective, of course, is not to live forever. The objective is to have a better quality of life in terms of the diseases winning less than your efforts are to keep your body healthy as possible. My brother died on his back with diapers being changed by his wife because his prostate cancer spread into his spinal column. That's not the way that I want to die. You know, I want to have more dignity, and I want to have more mobility and the ability to live the remainder of my days without somebody having to take care of me like that. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the final outcome and also the quality of life while you're here on this planet, meaning are you going to be mobile? Are you going to be a person that's experiencing dementia where your brain isn't working properly or you have tumors or pain? Those things can be assuaged, but it has to do with what we do now, what we're doing with our bodies while we're still healthy, or in some cases, what we do to repair our bodies in order to come back to a healthy position. We have many, many shows here that we've done where people have suffered from cancer and then the cancer came back again, and they've used, you know, PolyMBA to rebuild their cells, and some of them had very dire diagnosis where they were supposed to be dead within 3 years, and especially in the case of the myelomas, and yet they're still here 20 years later, and most of them attribute their survival to utilizing PolyMBA and in conjunction with conventional medicine. So no one is trying to convince anyone not to pursue conventional medicine, but we're trying to convey an understanding of how some things like radiation can cause cancer cells to spread 30 times faster. I mean, and that's why they told me in my prostate treatment that if I chose radiation and my cancer came back, there was nothing that they could do. And so that's why I didn't choose radiation. And in some cases, when they do surgery, well, if they cut the cancer out, well, guess what? The conditions that allow that cancer to survive are still there. If you don't change your way of providing nutrition for your body, if you don't change your way of cleansing the body, you don't change your way of exercising and eating, then the cancer has a great possibility of coming back. In addition, just because they cut out what they can see, it well doesn't mean that they can see all of it, and it doesn't mean you're going to get all of it out just as well. So that is why it's important that you learn about integrative medicine or integrative medicine, depending on how you pronounce that, pajama. And so this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about integrative medicine. We're talking about holistic medicine, holistic approaches to managing diseases and controlling the diseases. You know, there's a thing called the cancer control society where people are trying to control their cancer. Al talked about earlier how there's no cure for the common cold. So we're not necessarily talking about cures here. We're talking about a realistic appraisal and a powerful battle against these debilitating diseases, not just cancer, but many other diseases that can be managed. And so that's my paradigm shift, is that I'm looking at managing my ailments, managing my diseases in a way that I can have a more favorable outcome. Right, Al?
That is absolutely correct. I mean, all those points that you just mentioned on the cover, everything from oxygen to the approach, so that, you know, it's kind of a harsh reality, but the fact is, like you mentioned earlier, I think we're all going to die. We're all not going to live forever, and disease is part of life. Okay, great. Given that, and what really opened my eyes to that is looking at the statistics from even the early 20th century to now the latter part of the 20th century into the 21st century, if everybody really, the statistics are there, and it's easy to access and look online. The cancer rates, the autistic rates in children, diabetes, all these rates have just are at a level that would almost be, what would you call it, pandemic. Like back in the day when polio hit and all these diseases would wipe out, you know, part of small countries and things, it really is no different. With 7 billion people in the world, diseases have just, these degenerative diseases, what I'm speaking of. Things like cardiovascular disease have actually improved a lot because people understand it. And if you look, more people are running. You see people at the beach all the time, in parks. So people are getting that. And there are a lot more choices to eat from dietary choices. You can go to a lot of restaurants now, and you can say, yes, I'd like a spinach salad with some dressing on the side and lots of, you know, vegetables on top of it. Heck, even the fast food restaurants have got onto that because we demanded it. Because it became vogue for them to do so. You know, Whole Foods health stores, Trader Joe's, everybody has organics now in a lot of the grocery stores. That's because of you, of everybody. Where we spend our money is where these companies will put our business, period, end of story. If we don't want Coca-Cola to exist tomorrow, tell you what, everybody in the world, if you could hear me when I'm speaking this, nothing against Coca-Cola, I'm just picking them out, nobody buy a Coca-Cola product tomorrow. Not a one. Guess what? By the end of the week, they're out of business. They are out of business at the end of the week if we stop buying Coca-Cola products tomorrow. Everybody in the world, tomorrow. Guess what? Coca-Cola would change in a heartbeat, I guarantee you that. Right? So these fundamental little things that we can do have long-lasting impact in our lifetime. And that's what conferences like this really bring to light. And when you marry, when you come together with not only a diet and a lifestyle, but also with various nutraceuticals, like you said, you're talking about oxygen and poly. You know, I could go into the little science and depth as to why that works. But at the end of the day, the poly-MBA is helping to upregulate oxygen production and support your cells to develop their energy production so they can go and do what they need to do. It's almost as simple as that. But that's a great part of it, but it's not the only part of it. So if you want to think about an analogy of your car, guess what? One of the most important things you need in your car is the gasoline for the engine to run. You need it. It needs the energy to do that. Without it, guess what? You might have a Lamborghini. You could have your electric little scooter. No gas? You're not going anywhere. And so it doesn't matter that you had a $500,000 car. It doesn't matter that you had a $500 little electric moped or gasoline moped. And you don't know fuel? Guess what? You're not going anywhere. So it didn't really matter whether you had a $500,000 car. What mattered is the fact that that it keeps it running. And we know that if you maintain your car and you make sure you change the oil and you do the brake service and you do the rotation of the tires and you take care of things as it goes along, that car will last you a very long time. But if you do not, then guess what? You'll be looking for a car in a few more years because it's broken down and falling apart. Well, guess what? You only get one shot at your bodies. We can't turn our bodies in and go get a new one and take out a new lease on it. It doesn't give you that. But by maintaining our bodies, and that's where these nutraceuticals, along with the dietary supplements in today's day and age, are key. And I wish I could simply just do it with food alone, but there's too much in this world, in the environment, too many toxins, too much pollution, too many things we have to worry about, from what's in our water supply and our air supply even, that put a lot of stress, like you said, oxidize. You talked about rust. Rust is caused by oxygen. Okay. Yet oxygen is needed for life. Yeah, it is. Therein almost lies the dichotomy of things. But out of balance, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, guess what? Oxidation left unchecked. Anybody take, who's had a, in the old days, I mean, not in today's day and age, remember the old chrome bumpers, right? You leave a chrome bumper without any maintenance, and what happens to it? It's going to rust. Keep it leaving there, and it's going to rust until it just turns into nothingness. But that rust is there, and a lot of times you just couldn't see it. As long as you went up to it and washed it and wiped it down, guess what? Maybe you even put a little coat of wax on it, a little bit of polish on it. How long does it last? Silver tarnishes in air. That's a normal process. To keep silver shiny, you got to go polish it. You take off the oxidation. And you do that, no problem. But it left unchecked for a long time, what happens to it? It breaks down and falls apart. No different than your body. I mean, I don't know if it's just where I'm at and what I've learned at this point in time in my life and all the different conferences I've seen, and it's really that simple. And I hope it at least it's coming across that way for you, Walter, and the listeners as well, that the recipe for success and the recipe for health is really simple. It's not rocket science. The problem becomes more difficult when no maintenance has been done on our bodies, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a disease state of some sort. To rebuild the body from that point then becomes difficult. Yeah, that is difficult. And modern medicine has shown that it's great for a procedure, but when you're sick, when your body's in that dysfunctional state, modern medicine has little to offer you other than a Band-Aid to cover up the symptoms most of the time. It does not address the fundamental root cause of whatever that ailment might be. What it does do, this is where I think this we talked about a little earlier, when the tough word we always have is integrative medicine. So, you know, let's take an example of someone with some severe high blood pressure. You know what? There is not a nutraceutical or nutritional supplement in the world that can work as well as some of this blood pressure medication can to bring you back into the safe range. Great. Okay. So use the pharmaceutical drug to get you into the safe range, and then use the dietary lifestyle and the nutraceutical changes over the long term to keep you there so that you don't have to be on the drug for the life. Because we find out, and the research is showing, that most all drugs have severe side effects at some level. They're all typically, everything has to be filtered by your liver, so that's going to put more pressure on your liver. How much pressure does nutritional supplements put in your liver? None. That's what it does. It processes those things naturally. Tylenol, Advil, no. You know, these statin drugs that are difficult on the heart, you know, do they have their short-term point in use? Of course they do. But why would a pharmaceutical company ever tell you that? They want you to be on their medication for life. Heck yeah. Billion-dollar business. Why not? But nutritional supplements, there's no incentive to them except for long-term health. And when you marry that with a diet and lifestyle change, especially with food and exercise, your body takes care of itself. It really does. And sometimes certain people, like going back to the earlier part of the conversation, certain people at certain stages of their life need more things. When you're a young child growing, your body's in young development. It's accelerated. It needs all kinds of things, and it needs it now. But as you get older, you're no longer developing new tissues. You're no longer, now you're in the maintenance phase. And we see this as I'm sure as you have, Walter, as you've aged, as I've aged, I've noticed it. Your dietary requirements change. And if you eat certain foods, your body doesn't like it. if you don't need as much as you age, of course not. Because you're not burning the metabolism like you were when you were in your 20s. So why would you think that you could? Now, great, go back to becoming a marathon runner and run 20 miles a day or something. Well, guess what? You're going to need some more fuel. But for most of us, that's not the case. And so it really opens your eyes to the things that one needs to do and can do. And when you make that switch, wow, it takes typically, you know, 90 to sometimes 180 days, depending on your body and your situation. But anybody that's ever gone on a really healthy cleanse for a minimum of 30 days, you'll notice a difference. It's tough to do for like the first 7 to 10 days sometimes because you're just not used to it. you go away from all the carbs and all the foods and all the sugars that your body just loves and craves and almost is addicted to at a very basic level. Your body goes through a withdrawal, no different than a drug addict goes through a withdrawal. It's the same deal, to be honest. Sugar is that addictive to our bodies, especially refined sugar. And you go on a very raw and nutrient-dense food for a week, that's tough, man. You get headaches, you get kind of queasy, you lose your strength, but, man, you can push through that. For those people that have ever done that, you come out the other side going, wow. And you never go back. I remember when I did it, and you know, believe me, I love to eat fried foods before, and I still do, but I fry them differently now. I can have a French fry from, you know, somebody or went to a fast food restaurant, and you just have that craving, you know. I grew up having McDonald's French fries, and now I taste them, I don't even like them anymore. Oh my God, because I've gone off it for so long, you can taste the oil, and it sits on the roof of my mouth, and I go, got to be kidding me, and I spit it out. Like, nope, there it is, now I know. And also that those things, those chemicals and everything, they cause inflammation in your gut and then inflammation in your intestinal tract, which turn around and cause inflammation in your arteries. I'm like, you know what? I don't want any part of that. No, thank you. I know what the long-term effects of that does to the inside of my body, like that termite analogy I gave to you, so I'm not going to do it. Okay, great. I've learned new ways to cook up some some healthy foods, wonderful, and still satisfy that part of me, but it does take time. That's the downside of it. You know, fast food is great. You roll up to the window, you hand them some cash, they hand you some food, and down the road you go. I get it. Sometimes that's good, but you know what? If I'm in a pinch, because I do travel a lot, so what do? I go find, I know which fast food restaurants offer the healthiest food. And if I do go grab something and it is a burger, you're darn right I don't have it with any buns on it. You know, they do it low carb. Wrap that in lettuce, please, for me. And be sure to put extra onions and tomatoes on there for me. Okay. So it costs me a couple more bucks to do it. And it's not the dollar special that they have, but it's a choice. So, you know, not to plug Subway, but I love Subway. Because when I travel, guess what? I got a whole vegetable collage in front of me that I can have at, and it beats any type of fast food, and it's almost just as fast. So, you know, just get the sandwich and get the vegetarian one with all the good stuff. Good, I'm happy. And now they kind of heat it, and they can do all. I've gotten a little crazy with Subway because they got the little heaters there, so you can mix and match all their sauces and different stuff, and it's kind of cool. But, anyways, that's how I deal with it. You know, and I drink lots of water. I drink lemon in my water all the time. Matter of fact, I got a glass of water and lemon in my hand right now. So I make it that point. And right across the way from me right there is a Coca-Cola machine. But and I see people going up to it all the time, and I just like shake my head going, wow. Now you got to spend $2 for a 20-ounce soda, but it's full of a bunch of crud. And this conference puts on when they do the water supply, we bring a water purification system here to the hotel, and they supply all the water through a filtered reverse osmosis system that takes out any of the impurities and it also adjusts the pH. So those are things you have to think of before so that you can get the benefit of it while, you know, I can't be in my home where I have that already set up and I have to pack things with it. You know, so it does require a little extra work. But in my opinion, and I'm sure you'd support that as well, Walter, from what you've gone through, wow, had you been doing that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, had you known, and I'm sure you would have had you known, but you didn't know. Now that you do, I've been to your home. You have it all set up. You got all your food. You got your processors. You got your juicers. You got your mixers. You got your water filters. You got your organic coffee. You like coffee? Yeah, great, but you're going to drink the organic stuff. You're going to know, make sure it didn't come through and get irradiated and get pesticided. Those are choices you make. And in doing so, it allows us to continue. And in your case, you're living with cancer. Okay. And for you, it's like, yeah, whatever. Well, I'm living with cancer, and I'm going on with my day. And it might kill me in 5 years. It might kill me in two. It might kill me in 10. But either way, today, I know you're doing a whole lot better than the what everyone else has done that was in a similar situation but chose a different path. So that's the real excitement of what this type of organization and conference of individuals coming together really helps to represent. It's bringing new ideas to the table. It's getting everybody in one room. We all get to share these ideas and talk back and forth. And you know, human beings were slow to change. That much I now know for sure. But we keep doing it. It's why we keep coming back to say, okay, where are you at? And had a lot of people come up to me here and say, all right, Al, I know I got to get on this Pauly NBA stuff. I've just been so busy. I said, I know. I'll keep calling. I'll keep reminding you. And we'll figure it out one way or the other. That great saying that we come up with, you know, life gets in the way. I now understand what that means in a whole different fashion, but it does. And that's okay. You know, it's time. We're all on our own little journey that we're all trying to figure this out. And again, my whole hopes in doing these radio shows, and I know it's Walter's desire too, is just to share the information. You can lead the herd to the water, and hopefully they'll drink. If some will choose to, some will choose not to. That's okay. But we'll keep supplying the water as much as we can to, when you're thirsty, come have a drink.
Let's go back to something you said. You were talking about Coke. And so what a lot of people may not realize is that the coloring that they put in the Coke, the caramel coloring that's used, it's actually a carcinogen. And so when I was starting to use PolyMVA and using my supplements and changing my life, everybody said I was crazy. You know, they were like, you're going to die. You know, you got to take this seriously. My own mother, who was a nurse, was saying to me, you've got to take this seriously. And basically that I was some kind of quack for using holistic treatments. And, of course, a lot of the people that were in my prostate cancer support group are dead now, and I'm still alive. Yet the insanity in reality is drinking a substance like Coke worldwide that has a coloring. I mean, they just want the color of it to look good. So they put a carcinogen into Coke to make it look good. That's all that it does. And in addition, things like high fructose corn syrup, which shut off the body's ability to understand that it's had enough to eat. So the high fructose corn syrup is being put into our meatballs when you get processed food, into your pizza, into the dough that you're eating in the pizza, into the dough of the sweet rolls, cinnamon rolls that you get, the cookies. It is a ketchup. It's amazing the array of things in which high fructose corn syrup, for example, is being utilized. High fructose corn syrup costs one-third the amount of sugar. And so companies are just loving this because they can save money by utilizing the high fructose corn syrup to sweeten foods, and it makes you want to keep eating. And so you keep coming back to eat the very same unhealthy things that are killing you with the carcinogens in them. I mean, so what a wonderful panacea that is for them. But for you, it's not a very good thing. And so just imagine how I look at the world differently now when people like my loving mother — my mother really cared about me. And by the way, she died from breast cancer, which was undiagnosed. It's amazing to me that people would say that what I'm doing is insane when people knowingly, I mean, I know a lot of people that know that high fructose corn syrup is damaging. I know a lot of folks that know that the caramel coloring and Coke and Pepsi causes cancer, yet they continue to drink it. They continue to use these soft plastic water bottles that they leave in their car, and then the plastic leaches into the water. And of course, okay, let's say that you don't do that, but you don't know what happened. You don't know what the process was for those plastic bottles before they got to you. I mean, they could have been in a truck and left outside in the sunlight and heated up, and now you've got this plastic into your water. So we're doing so many insane things in our culture and around the world that are killing us and that are reducing our quality of life. And so it's devastating. And so what I like about the holistic approach and the integral medicine approach is that we're looking at these insane things. We're looking at ways in which we can fortify our body. We can use products like PolyMVA to support our body on a cellular level. We can use PolyMVA to combat against cancer. We can use PolyMVA to fight back against some of the things that we just can't get away from. I mean, you can't get away from people smoking cigarettes. Last night I went to see Bill Maher in Hollywood, and they had us line up, you know, on the sidewalk, you know, outside of the building at CBS, and there was a guy standing there smoking. He wasn't even in the line. He was just outside smoking. He was, oh, excuse me, he was in my way. But I ended up inhaling some of the cigarette smoke. I mean, how can I get away from that? You know, you pass by people, and they have nicotine particles, carcinogens, on their clothing. So if you smell the cigarette smoke smell, guess what? You've inhaled some of those particles. So there's things you just can't get away from, no matter how healthy you try to live your life, which is why, as I was mentioning, the cleansing part of this comes in. That's why it's so important to use bentonite to cleanse your body. It is so important to clean the intestines and to make sure you take laxatives to clean your body out and get all those impurities out of the body. This is a multi-pronged approach. Nobody's saying that PolyMVA is the only thing that's going to save your life and it cures cancer and blah, 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 blah. Nobody's saying that. But what we are saying that there's an array of things that are against your body. There's an array of things that you don't have any control over that are killing you, like inhaling other people's cigarette smoke, like getting the high fructose corn syrup. I mean, there's a lot of times, right, when I go out and eat, you don't know what they're putting into the bread or into the meat or anything else. So you may, well, I'm sure, I accidentally ingest high fructose corn syrup. You go to someone else's house, you have a potluck. You know, there's ingredients in that food that you perhaps would not utilize at home. And some of you are still utilizing these things at home, even though you know that it's devastating, or some of you don't know. And so all of these factors, so the thing that PolyMVA does for me is that it gives me another tool in my arsenal to control and to manage the situation where I have all of these toxins in my life, but PolyMVA is a good tool that I have in my life that supports my body. And the more of those things we can implement into our lifestyle, the better the chances are we have in terms of having a good outcome with our quality of life. And that's what the ticket is for me.
Wow, Walter, I couldn't have said it any better or summed it up in any better of a way. Thank you. You nailed it right there, from the little nanoparticles of stuff. And the important thing, just one comment on it, is that, you know, the high fructose corn syrup, like you mentioned, if it's a little bit that you're having at the potluck party for 4th of July or somebody's birthday or the wedding, I'm not worried about that. It's the fact that maybe all week long you've been having high fructose corn syrup in maybe the soda you're drinking, as well as all the some other food that you're drinking and are eating and this, that, and the other. So now you have a cumulative amount that's added up. And so a little bit, not so worried about. Our bodies are wonderful organisms that can process and are designed to deal with toxicities and being filtered. That's what our livers do. That's what our gallbladders, our kidneys. It's built that way. But if we're not supporting it by doing things that are naturally healthy, I mean, natural healthy foods do those things. Broccoli, liver, cauliflower, kale, spinach, most of the vegetables, they bind to heavy metals. They bind to things. They'll pull things out of our bodies naturally. Our bodies aren't designed to deal with that. We've come through a lot of evolution that our bodies can deal with a lot of stuff. But right now in the 21st century, like Walter just gave a great analogy, you're picking up a little bit of the nicotine particle by somebody you pass by. All right. But then that adds into the high fructose corn syrup that you got. Okay. And it adds into the sulfur particles of the diesel truck that just drives by. Okay. Now it's you're living by a plant that's burning, that has an incinerator that's burning all kinds of plastic. Okay. These are the little things. And you go and add some skin lotion to your skin, or some suntan lotion to your skin that has some heavy zinc oxides in it that aren't very healthy, and that they bind together. What does that concoction make up inside your body if it gets to a critical mass? I don't have the exact answer to that, but I think I would don't want to be around when that happens. And that's kind of what we're pointing to here. The little things do add up over time. So minimize them when you can. That's all. It's tough. You can't get away from the air pollution that everybody in the world is burning and putting up in the environment. The air circulates all around the planet. So guess what? What happens on the other side of the planet is a concern for what we do as well. Hence why we got to be an example and a leader in for what we need to do, because we've learned our lessons of what toxic environments can do. Other countries are going through that process right now. Hopefully they'll learn quicker than what we did, but they're in a hurry to catch up, so they're doing all kinds of stuff. That's a whole different conversation. Aside from that, we can take care of, we can detox, we can do some good things, and those things add up to help tip the scales back in the healthy direction that we need. Because given the scales are in the negative area, like we've talked about, over the long term, you get degenerative disease. Keep them over in the right side, and you'll typically have a healthier body. Now, granted, it's not a rule of thumb, but it is a general rule, and it works, and the research shows it. And yes, there's always the people that you say, I got an aunt or uncle, they smoke 3 packs a day and drink a fifth of whiskey and have been drinking coffee and fried food for all their life. Yeah, there are those out there. Some of us have tougher genes than other genes, and they can adapt a whole lot better. That is absolutely true. But in general, it's not. For the most of us, it's not. And they grew up at a different time, in a different area, and were exposed to different things and didn't have as many things that we've had in quote-unquote, our modern world. So, they were cut from a different cloth to a certain degree. I don't want to take that chance, and I've seen too much disease, and that's where statistically when you look at the diseases and the degenerative diseases, they're just rising. So, again, the hopes of this conversation and this discussion with Walter and sharing it with you is to just, again, open your mind to that. The information is there. This isn't something we've come up with on our own. This is our own personal experiences that I've seen, and I wanted to share the excitement that I had here being at this conference, because this is why I do what I do. Test of that is seeing how much I travel. I go to these conferences not to learn, to help, to grow, to understand, and then to bring that information back to others so that maybe they can do something with it that I picked up on, and maybe it's a little different. Maybe they'll put their own little twist on it. Great. Whatever that might be for you, that's my hopes in doing these shows with Walter and sharing the information that we can get out there. So I just heard back from Dr. Antonio, which he got called back into the session, so he's got to go back in here at 10 o'clock. Apparently had a cancellation in the speaker. So hopefully I'll be able to try and get him back on with Walter either later today or maybe when he gets back to New York next week, depending on what his class load is. So, but I want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to this, the information, because, again, one of our mottos here is information is the force of change. And, maybe you'll be able to glean something from that. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to myself or the company at 866-PAULIEMVA, or you can go on the website to paulimva.com. Or you can send an email to Walter directly based on his information site that he has, and start a dialogue, and maybe we can help point you in the right direction and answer some questions or give you some insight. We'd be happy to do so. So hope everyone has a wonderful, happy Saturday, and I'm going to continue on working here through tomorrow until I get back home. So.
Okay, great, and thanks, Al, for that information. I know it's a little after 10, you got to run. I'm going to be giving the audience information on how they can get more information about PAULIEMVA. But once again, Al, thank you very much for coming aboard. And for those of you that are listening, please share this radio broadcast with your family, friends, and constituents. The contact information for PAULIEMVA will be contained within the body of this broadcast, the description, along with a link to the website and telephone number, et cetera. Please share this information widely, because we really need to get this disseminated to help save lives, especially of people close to you that you love. And that's why I got involved. A lady came to me and said, before I had cancer, and said to me, do you know anyone that has cancer and you love them? Tell them about PAULIEMVA. So that's my motto right there. So please listen for upcoming shows that we're going to be having on PolyNBA. We're going to have other doctors coming on. We're going to be scheduling further interviews with Dr. Forsyth and others that are attending this conference that Al is at right now. So please monitor our schedule and look at the other shows that we have on board the Community Coalition Radio broadcast and Progress in the World. And we're going to be starting a series of internet radio broadcasts once again with Dr. Jessica Heyman. And she's going to be talking about postpartum issues on tomorrow. This is now Saturday the 26th, and on the 27th, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jessica Heyman about postpartum issues. And we're also going to be talking about these SPEDs, the SPED mobile app. And so Mr. Isham is going to be sharing that information from Arizona on his development of a SPED mobile app, special education mobile app, that helps parents understand the terminology involved with parental right to consent. This is a big thing, and we've got a lot of shows on that with the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, in which parents can actually have their kids ordered to take psychotropic drugs, whether they want to have them or not. So understanding the parental right to consent is integral to maintaining the health of your children. So don't miss these very exciting shows that we have coming up in the very near term. I want to thank you very much for joining me. This is Walter Davis with the Citizens Internet Radio Network, the San Diego County Community Coalition, and Progress in the World. Thank you very much for joining us. Ciao.